The show's about to start. Are you ready? Welcome to this is Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm your host, the Iceman, Jeff Trunipol. And as always, I bring you sports from a West Side point of view right here in the great city of Cincinnati, Ohio, home of Jackpot Joe, who was back on the practice field today. I'm very excited about that. Let's get to that here in a minute. Now, if you found the show, do me a favor. Hit that like and subscribe button. Smash that thumbs up. I'm up to 1,119 subscribers. That is awesome. I appreciate every single one of you guys. Now, when I get to 10,000 subscribers, I will be giving away a jersey of some kind. So, if you want to have a chance to win a jersey, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell them to subscribe to Sports with Strawberry Ice on YouTube. Now, this show and every show is brought to you by T-Properties. T-Properties, quality housing for quality people. Check out their website at www.tpropertiesllc.com for all your rental property management needs and your rental needs. All right, as I said at the beginning of the show, Jackpot Joey was back on the field. I'm very excited about that. And I just want to get this quickly out of the way. The Reds are playing tonight, and the mad scientist is back at it. He has Gino leading off. I don't know why. I guess he wants to get him more fastballs. We'll see. Hopefully it works. But that's enough about the Reds today. Let's get to our guest today. And he's pretty new to he's new to writing for the last word on the NFL. But I'll just bring him in and let him tell his own story. It's Drew Garrison. Drew, what's going on, man? How you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, man. So tell the people a little bit about yourself and where they can find you and what you're writing about and stuff like that.
Yeah, my little at down there in the corner, at Drew_LRT, that's on Twitter and Instagram. I write for Last Word on Sports. As you had mentioned coming in, I have a sports podcast we do called Locker Room Talk Uncut. It is viewer discretion advised. We kind of get a little wild in there at times. I've been writing for Last Word for just a couple weeks here, actually. They just brought me on back on the 12th. So covering the team, trying to keep my ear to the ground. I try to say I'm a voice for the fans. So I try to keep it as real as I can possibly leave it without being too negative, because I have gotten quite a bit of a reputation for being a negative fan. I'm trying to reel it in, man. I'm trying to see a new vision.
Well, it's kind of hard the last couple of years not to be negative. Now, I'm the exact opposite. Everybody says I always see everything with the orange-colored sunglasses on, which I actually have a pair of those. So I'm always trying to be optimistic. Yeah, exactly. But I'm trying to be optimistic. But there's no reason to not be optimistic today, because – Jackpot Joey Burrow was actually on the field with OTAs.
I didn't see that coming. I thought maybe we'd see him like on the bike, like how he started out. I didn't think we'd see him like actually throwing. That was a pleasant surprise.
I'm with you, dude. I mean, I kept telling my co-host who's usually on here with me, Jeremy, that Joe is going to be back game one. I thought, you know, he might be ready by then, but I didn't think he'd be doing this. Now, and that is the greatest. That's the greatest picture I've ever seen in my life. AFC North, are you scared yet? Because we got Joe to Chase, and they are going to dominate the AFC North.
I was against
North.
That pick. I got to tell you.
Were you?
I wanted Sewell. I was a team Sewell guy.
I was team Chase. Well, I was team Chase all the way. And since, well, when they got Riley Reiff, once they got Riley Reiff, then I'm like, all right, let's go get Chase, because Chase, I've said this on my podcast lots of times, he's a game changer, and he can also help protect by spreading the offense out. I mean, I think Matt Michigan on here from Cincy Jungle. Yeah. And he's talking about the Bengals can go five wide with Mixon out there or one of the, well, not Geo now, bro, Chris Evans or one of the other running backs or something. I mean, five wide is, that's going to be hard to stop. Even when we have just the three guys, three wide, it's going to be hard to stop. Who are they going to double team? So to me, that's why I'm like, I think getting Chase was a protection for Burrow just as much as if we got Sewell.
I don't think just as much. I think Sewell's probably going to be an all-pro, Pro Bowl type guy. But I do see what you mean, because we saw the numbers. I think 43% of Burrow's sacks last year were qualified as coverage sacks. So, and that's because we had a lot of receivers that couldn't separate. I mean, unfortunately, right. AJ was a shell of the AJ that we've seen for the last, 10 years. So I can see that, but I moved on. Like I said on my tour, I was like, look, I banged the table. I banged the table. They didn't do it. But they're my team. I got to ride with them, so I'm moving on. I hope Jamar Chase is the best receiver we've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said, too. I said, I want Chase. If they take Sewell, I'll be fine with it. I mean, either way, we were going to get a great player. Either way, they went. So they got Chase. So we're moving on. We got – and this is the part I really like. We got every single player that is able to put a Bengals uniform on was at the first OTAs.
I love that.
I know. And that's one thing Joe said that they talked about in their Zoom meetings were that's what they wanted to do. And Joe even said, he goes, even if I couldn't have thrown or whatever, he goes, I was still going to be here. To me, that is what I think the culture change that Zach has been talking about and trying to get here. And we might be starting to see it now.
I gotta give Zach credit for that, because I've also not been a big Zach guy. I've been pretty boisterous against him, but I do have to give him credit for that. I saw kind of the list of who were there. I was following along with the reporters on Twitter, and I saw that Higgins was there, Mixon was there, Boyd was there, and I'm like, hey, these guys don't have to be here. And I said, I think that's really cool. And then I saw it from Lindsay Patterson. She followed up and she said every Bengals player was at OTAs today, and I was blown away by that, because we've heard all offseason about everybody saying how they, these players don't want to go to OTAs. No. They don't think they should. So, and that's not an issue for us. So I think that's great. Not that OTAs matter all that much in the grand scheme of things, but at the end of the day, man, it builds the culture. It builds the timing. It builds the rapport and everything that you need going forward. So I was incredibly excited to see that. I didn't expect that.
Yeah. And especially since they couldn't do any of that last year. There was none, So this is, to me, that helps even more, especially with all the new guys we got. Like Zach said in his press conference, Riley Reiff got to hear the cadence from Joe for the first time. These things are things that they get to work on that last year, if all these guys came in, they wouldn't be able to work on. Like Joe got asked, if him and Jamar, actually him and Jamar stayed afterwards and did some extra route running. And they asked Joe, was it, just like old times? He goes, we had to kick the rust off a little bit, but after that, it was just like old times. I'm like, that is awesome. Jamie said here, it's the Burrow effect. Exactly. And the thing is, somebody tweeted this out. I can't remember who it was. Maybe you saw it too, but in future, there's going to be guys that want to come to Cincinnati because of Joe Burrow. And that's something we've never had.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we know that they've got to get the right contract and the right paycheck for that too.
Right, exactly.
I see Anthony Kazenza. Yeah, he's a great dude from Cincy Jungle.
What's up, Anthony? What's going on, man? Yeah, he had a Bengal Jim on his show earlier today, so I was watching. They kept talking. I'm like, you guys gotta get off the air because I'm about to come on.
Man, I'm fairly new to Bengals Twitter, man. Like I really kind of got into this. It was back in the December area, because I had the Joe Tooney situation where I was talking to his family members
right
about him, because he wanted to come to Cincinnati. They lowballed him.
Yes,
is what his right. sister said.
Yeah, but $80 million for a guard, that's a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. But so, but like, I'm new to this. So like, I'm kind of not meeting, but I'm talking to these people on online, you know, like Anthony's, you know, I've been reading Cincy Jungle for a decade plus. So like, that was cool. So like, you get introduced to people and I just had to like, I also had to realize like, I don't have to respond to everybody that's in my mentions.
Oh yeah.
That's where they'll get you.
Right. Yeah. That's where it gets kind of hard sometimes. Right? Some people mention stuff and I'm like, well, sometimes I don't even know how to respond. I'm like, I'll just like it. Like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. You know? So, yeah. I've learned, man, muting instead of blocking is the way to go. Muting,
yeah. Yeah. I haven't had to block anybody yet. So, but well, there's always a first. But just getting to Bengals Twitter, to me, the Bengals Twitter is a community, and it's more of a, like a family almost. So we're all in this together trying to rep our team. And I think we're all trying to change the national narrative about, you know, what an organization we had. And that also goes to what Bengal Jim has going on here. And I like to post this every show I get, is the Jungle to the Hall to try to get Ken Riley and Ken Anderson into the Hall of Fame. And if you guys have not registered, I please recommend you to go register and go to this. You can go to Bengal Jim's Twitter or his Facebook page. He's got it all right there. Go register, find out, you know, so he knows how many people are coming. We get a tour of Madison High School where Paul Brown coached. They got statues of that. We get a tour of the Hall of Fame. He's got hotels lined up. There's a bar, a restaurant, a brewery afterwards. And that's all wrapped around the rally that is the most important thing that's happening that day, whether we have from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. For Ken Riley and Ken Anderson. I mean, Willie Anderson's supposed to be there. I think he said Anthony Munoz is going to be there. So, I mean, there's going to be a ton of people there. And to me, that's what this whole thing is about, this big wave of Bengal Twitterdom. You know, we're trying to get the narrative out there that we're not terrible. We're actually a pretty good organization. We've had good players. No, we haven't won a Super Bowl. No, we haven't won a playoff game in a while, but trust me. It's coming. It is definitely coming, and I'm very optimistic that's going to happen.
Some of Bengals Twitter doesn't like me, man, and it's okay. But because there have been a couple times where I've said that there were things that Joe Burrow could do better, and people don't like it. But I just think that, you know, sometimes I call it how I see it, and people don't like it. So sometimes it gets a little bit rough on there, but I just say, hey, this is just my opinion. We're all good.
Well, I had somebody go, like, I said, I'm a season ticket holder, and I got the vote. So I put out there, voted for Ken Riley and Ken Anderson. And they're like, well, you didn't vote for Willie? I'm like, all right, now my opinion of this, Willie should be in the Ring of Honor, which he will be. You only get two votes, you know?
Right.
We're trying to get Ken Anderson and Ken Riley into the Hall of Fame. If we can't even put them into our own Ring of Honor, then why in the hell? Right. So Willie, next year, Willie is number one, and then it's somebody else. However many people they let us pick next year. But Willie for sure is getting in the Ring of Honor next year. And then it's up for granted. Then we actually can have a debate, which is actually what's so cool about the Ring of Honor. We actually can have a debate about it. Not a debate like, I wish we had one. We have a Ring of Honor. We can debate who gets in.
And I was wondering kind of how that was going to work. Obviously, you know, Paul Brown, Anthony Munoz.
Yes.
Automatic, of course. But then, yeah, I think it should be Ken and Ken also. But then, you know, how many people do we get to put in next year? And how long does that go?
Yeah, I don't know.
That would determine my vote. You know, if this was a one-time thing, it's going to be a lot harder. But if they're going to vote people in, you know, two people at a time for the next 3 years, that opens up the dialogue for, you know, who deserves to be in before, you know, Chad Johnson or whoever else. So that's interesting. I haven't seen anything on how that's going to go. You may know, but I personally haven't.
No, I don't know. I haven't found out anything. I mean, if they go by what they did this year, it would be four then. Now, I don't know if they let the fans vote for all four of them. I mean, that's the way I think it should be. I mean, like I said, obviously, Paul Brown and Anthony Munoz, obviously they're going in. So that was a no-brainer, right there, like you said.
Yeah, no doubt.
So they do four again next year. To me, it's number one is Willie Anderson. If Ken Riley and Ken Anderson get in the Ring of Honor this year, number one is Willie Anderson. Then, I mean, I think Dave Lapham should be up there for his years of service with the Bengals and being Mr. Bengal and stuff like that. I think he's a good person to put in. But then you got Chad. You got the younger generation who there are lots of Bengals fans. Are Bengals fans because of Chad Johnson?
Yeah, I'm one of them. I mean, that's I'm 29. I think. Yeah, I am 29. I got catch up sometimes. But yeah, so like I came up like my first.
Wait, you're too young to forget how old you are. I'm 46. So you got a ways to go.
My first jersey was an Akili Smith jersey.
Oh God, I had one too.
That's the era that I came up in, and then you know Chad Johnson gets here, Palmer gets here, so things are in like that. That is the really when my fanhood strengthened, you know, from a little kid that like, oh, like my dad's watching the Bengals, I watch the Bengals too.
Right.
That's, you know, that's the era that brought me up. So maybe I'm a little bit partial to that, but I love Willie Anderson too.
Yeah.
And it's cool that I saw Bengal Jim post it. However many years consecutively you've had season tickets is mm-hmm. how many times your vote counts. So I think his vote counted 27 times. 27,
yeah. My counted twice. Yeah, my count twice. I've had this will be a second year for season tickets for me. So, but hey, at least I get the vote. Now, some people are like, you know, I wish they'd let the fans who don't have season tickets get a vote. And I brought that up to Jake Lisco yesterday from Locked On Bengals. And he said, yeah, it's a good point. He goes, but if you put it out there for everybody, then you got – it's for everybody. It's not just – you know, if it's on the internet, then Squealers fans can vote. Ratbirds fans can vote. Clowns fans can vote. You know, so that's where I think it's kind of – yeah. And I also think they would kind of want to reward their loyal fan base, the guys like Jim who's – has season tickets for, you know, 27 years. So I think it's kind of like that too, but it's going to be interesting what they do next year. If they're going to do four, if they're going to do six, if they're only going to do two and how they're going to do it. So I'm really interested to see how they're going to do it next year, which they might not even announce that till the off season next year, because they're probably just worried about trying to get this first year done.
Yeah, and it depends because, you know, when I think Ring of Honor, I think I'm in Paul Brown Stadium. It's that concrete kind of around the middle, you know, separating the upper deck and all that. So how many names are you going to put on there? How many is it going to fit? I mean, if TJ Houshmandzadeh gets in at some point, he's going to take up the whole visitor sideline. Right, we're going to run out of space. So I need to know what their plans are for it.
Exactly. I mean, we got 17 nominees. I mean, like I said, my first real year of really remembering the Bengals was 1981, the Super Bowl year. And that's what Chris Collinsworth rookie year. And he's been my favorite, like my first favorite player was Chris Collinsworth because he was rookie of the year and everybody was going nuts. That's when we started the Who Dey chant and everything. So I always like Chris Collinsworth. And then you got, like I said, you got Willie, you got Jim Breach, who's the all-time scoring record or scoring leader for the Bengals. And you got Chad. And then everything, you got Bob Trumpy on here. And people don't know. Me personally, I remember Bob Trumpy as the sports talk show host on 700 WLW more than I remember him as a Bengal player. But if you look back at some of the footage and stuff that they were doing with him, he was one of the first real legitimate threats at tight end. If you really go back and look. So, I mean, you got to consider him too as well. So there's lots of guys to consider.
I can't lie to you, man. I got beef with Chris Collinsworth.
What's that? Because
I got beef with Chris Collinsworth.
The way he talks about the Bengals or whatever.
Yeah, man. When we would get like a Sunday night football game, I felt like he was dragging us.
Right.
I'm like, man, you played for us. You know, he's got that like, you know, I'm on my sixth scotch kind of voice. Like, look at these guys. They don't know what they're doing. I'm like, come on, bro, give us a break. You played here. That's my beef with Chris.
Yeah, there's lots of people that have a beef with him like that, and I understand that he does rag on sometimes. Also, sometimes. I feel that it's two things. One, he's trying not to sound like a homer. Two, he gets frustrated with them.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I think a lot of these just like, I want you to be better, damn it.
Saying that, I just realized now that I said it out loud on record, and there's no going back, how much of a hypocrite I sound like because of how much I'll drag the Bengals on Twitter when they don't do what I think they should do. So I guess I am a little bit of a hypocrite for that.
That's right. We are. It happens. It happens. But did you see the Twitter video of Joe Burrow working out at Black Sheep? That was the first thing they released yesterday.
Yeah, he looked – his shoulders and arms do look big, man. I was kind of surprised.
Well, they're saying – well, he even said that he has more strength in his hips and is actually his throwing motion has gotten more defined, and he feels like he has more velocity than he had before. So
because of his rehab.
Right. So if he's throwing the ball even better, look out.
Well, in the deep ball, we all know that's what's got to improve. Mm-hmm. I don't think people take note enough of how much it was improving right before he went down. He was about 50% over those last three or four games before he went down. So it was getting better. Obviously, the strength in the shoulders and the arms isn't going to be the main proponent of the deep ball. A lot of that's timing and all that stuff, but it's certainly going to help. But just to see that, I always seem to remember the guys that go down with the knee injury, that whole offseason is just focused on rehab, right? They never seem to get bigger, faster, stronger because they're so worried about rehabbing.
Right.
He's found a way to at least look like he's gotten a lot stronger with his upper body while having his knee to 80-85%, like he's saying. So is this dude bionic or what's going on?
He's the bionic man. We build him faster, bigger, and stronger. But that's what he was saying, though. A lot of the development of his hips is also to increase the muscles around his knee. That's the thing they have to do, too, is not only increase his knee, but also the muscles around it. So hopefully this doesn't happen again. But in doing that, he was also able to work on his footwork and stuff. And to me, that's – if we can get an improved Joe Burrow – that's going to be unbelievable because I'm very, very excited from what I heard from him today, what I got to see. And I'm ready to go.
And that's the thing with the OTA reps that he's getting is that footwork that you're seeing him do. You know, he's not taking snaps off the ground yet. He's not taking snaps from center.
Right.
Zach Taylor said nobody's
within 10 feet
of him. Right. So it's like, yeah. So, but the footwork that he's doing when he's, you know, he's trotting and he turns and he pops and he fires, that stuff is important for his new knee. Essentially a new knee. Yeah. You know, it's got to get used to those twitches. It's got to get used to that pressure, that quick on and off. You know, and I'm by no means a medical professional, but somebody that I think was talking about it. So that's where I take it. I wish I knew who it was. I give proper credit, but
we
things
just act
like that are important.
Yeah, we just act like one on our podcast here.
Yeah. I sit on my couch eating chips. Like, that guy's not hurt. Get up.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll rub some dirt on it. You'll be all right.
Yeah. What a loser. And I'm sitting here eating Doritos, you know. So.
Exactly. Now, the other interesting thing Joe said, he said he wants to gain at least 5 or 10 more pounds, and he says he has time to do that. So, I mean, if he gets even – because I think he said he weighs about the same as he did last year. But, I mean, I guess –
like toned out.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could have the same weight, but it's more in muscle than mass and everything. Either way, he looks good. And I'm just – they asked him today if he surprised himself. And Joe Burrow's like, no.
I watch it.
Yeah. No, that's kind of where I thought almost like, and to me, that's not being arrogant or cocky. That's just being confident about yourself. Like, this is where I planned on being. And he said it was hard because one thing he said, and I didn't totally understand it, that he, you know, he has to push his knee to a certain point, but then he has to stop. He can't over push it. But then he said this trainer he had, he said he couldn't push it enough. The trainer was pushing him even more. He said it was all he could handle or something like that. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and that's good because, I mean, let's be honest, man. The Bengals don't have the best history in managing injuries.
Right.
I go to the Antonio Bryant signing that was just a complete bust.
Yes.
I go to, you know, the Tyler Eifert injury that he got in the Pro Bowl that year, and they said he'd be fine, and then –
It took
halfway through the season for him to come back, and then it wasn't. It just seems like there's some sort of issue in the medical staff where who's clearing him or whatever. Now I know that Atache is the guy that did Burrow's knee, and they're very well connected. He said that in his interview too. He said he'll call me and check in. He'll answer the phone every time I call. So I think that's good. But I'm always a little bit weary of Bengal injury timelines because of just some of the things I've seen in the past. I guess I get a little shell shocked.
Well, yeah, we always go back to our past. That's why people are still thinking we're a terrible organization. We have a whole decade of it in the 90s. But one thing is cool is Zach said that Joe Mixon is full go. He's completely healthy and he's ready to go. So that's good. Now DJ Reader, I think he was over on the sideline, so he's still not in. Well, I guess on
he
the
was on
field.
The rehab field.
Yeah, on a rehab. He wasn't practicing with everybody else, so he might be a little. I think Hopkins was over there too. So those two, hopefully, I think Reader, I think he'll be back by game one. I don't know about Hopkins. He's the one that because he injured his knee the last game of the year, so.
Yeah,
that's gonna be hard to come back, especially as big as he is and the movement they got to do, you know, playing center, the up and down and side to side, and just the pressure that he has to put on his knee. So that brings us to how good is Frank Pollock going to be in getting Billy Price ready to be our game one starter, possibly?
That was Billy Price's best year, 2018, with Frank
Pollock.
So,
yes, it was.
And that's another thing that I've gotten a little bit of heat on the internet for is people say, you know, Frank Pollock. I said, well, is he coming to play? Because at the end of the day, the coaching can be good, but the players have to be good.
Right.
And I saw a picture on Twitter today. It's got Penny Sewell at right tackle and Hank Ragnow at center for Detroit.
Yeah.
That could have been us because we wanted Ragnow. They
right.
Detroit took him. We panicked and took Price, and it hasn't really been all that good.
Yeah.
I think Price can be serviceable at center for a couple of games while Hopkins comes back.
That's all he's got to be, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope he's not the long-term center by any means.
No, I don't think he's long-term center because if he was, they would have picked up his fifth-year option. I think this is it for him.
Yeah, $10 million cap hit. I mean, they weren't picking that up.
No, not for what he's provided. And he's been a bust. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's been a total bust for us.
Are you a Buckeye fan, too?
I'm more of a Bearcat fan, but I do root for the Buckeyes. My co-host Jeremy is a Buckeye fan. He's a huge Buckeye fan.
I am not.
That you guys actually. Oh damn! I wish Jeremy was on here now.
I never had the Ohio. Like, there's this thing that I noticed maybe as an outsider,
right?
But when the Browns too, when Cleveland or Cincinnati signs an Ohio State Buckeye, it's like they're the savior of the franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Like Braxton Miller got picked up by Cleveland a couple years ago, and they're like, oh my God, he's going to change. Like, no, dude, there's like Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, Rashard Higgins. There's all these guys. Like, he's not making that team. So I think sometimes the Ohio State bias makes people not be able to see the forest because of the trees there. But it's like, we just got to let that go.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, like Burrow said, he said this team is full of LSU players and Ohio State players. He's played with a lot of them.
Yeah.
So, which is
it's all his buddies.
Yeah. Which I mean, I kind of try to come up not for the Buckeyes, but for the LSU guys because there's more of them. Kind of like a nickname, like the Bayou Cincy or Bayou Jungle Boys. The thing I was thinking about calling them. So, I mean, just something silly like that because there is so many LSU guys. And the thing is, these LSU guys won a national championship there, so they know how to win. And I love the now we'll get to the draft here. Let's do this real quick. The draft, we talked about, you know, you were a Sewell guy. Are you okay with the picking of Jackson Carman after they traded back and got all the guys they got? Where's your thoughts on that?
I didn't like it. Personally, and watching the draft, you know, I saw Kuiper had like, I think a fourth round grade on him, third round grade.
Yeah.
And as I've started, I call it my, I've been on Twitter, I call it my positivity movement.
Okay. Right?
So that's what I've got to be on. So then I start looking, I'm like, wow, he's pretty damn big. He did well blocking for Trevor Lawrence. He, you know, there's good size here. He looks like a physical presence. So I'm in now, but I have to be. I personally wouldn't have traded back. I think the trade with New England was good. They picked up the extra fourth rounders for, didn't really lose much value, but I think that there were some other guys that they could have taken there. Trying to think of the one guy.
The one I wanted. Oh man, from not Oklahoma State. Anyway, never mind. We'll sit there and keep remember. Try to remember his name, but I know you're talking about
Quinn Miners guy too. I wanted Quinn Miners.
Well, there was one guy there I wanted them to get, and I cannot remember his name right now.
I'm drawing a blank too. I overloaded myself with offensive linemen after that.
Yeah, I know. I had it all for the draft, and now we kind of gotten away from the draft. We're getting OTA, so that part of my brain is kind of emptying out. But yeah, there was a couple there we could have got. Crosby was there. They could have got him. But I'll put it to you this way: if they were going to take him, which I think that's who they had in mind to take. Because they were looking for a guard. And that's what everybody has to realize. They were looking for a guard. They weren't looking for a tackle. They were looking for a guard. So they traded back, got the guy that they wanted, and then they also added those two fourth-round picks where we got Shelvin and we got Osai and we got Sample. I mean, so with the picks we got, it also helped us be able to get McPhee, the kicker, in the fifth round, which I know people are like, oh, it's a kicker. I'm like, dude, he's going to be a weapon. So the whole thing in general – I like it. And the farther I got away from the draft, more and more I'm like, this could be really good. But it's kind of like Jake said yesterday on the show. We're really not going to know till 3 years down the road of how good this draft is.
And that's the case with every draft. I think the draft makes more sense if you see Osai taken in the second and Carman taken in the third. I think it would just make more sense for optics. Now, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter all that much. Contract details and stuff like that. But one thing that I said – when I was, you know, moving on from my meltdown and my pessimism.
Moving into your optimistic phase.
Yeah. Positivity movement started. I said, hey, the guys that are making these decisions know a lot more than I do. Right. I can tweet what I want them to do all day long, but at the end of the day, they get paid a lot more money than I get paid to do this. I don't get paid any money to do any of this.
Right. Neither do I.
They're in place to do it. They got the guys that they wanted. They put the team that they wanted together. Yep. And I have to trust them, as hard as it may be to trust the organization after some of the stuff that I've seen over the last, 29, 30 years of my life. I have to, because it's not like I'm not turning in my stripes. I've threatened to quite a few times.
I think we all have threatened to. Especially if you've been a fan as long as I have, and you lived through the entire decade of the 90s, yes, trust me, I there's times I said I give up. But
it's always right after free agency. Right after free agency, I'm like, I'm done with this team. It's over with. They didn't do exactly what this random me from Ohio said that they should do. I'm out. And then the draft rolls around. I'm like,
Well, the thing is, the last 2 years, they've actually done something in free agency. These last 2 years of free agency have been the most active in Bengals history. So, I mean, that's what gets you excited about what they've been doing. I mean, I get to be excited because I remember last year they were starting to sign guys going, what?
What's going on here?
Because, I mean, honestly, it got to the point where I'm like, okay, free agency, whatever. Might sign some leftover, like AJ Hawk or somebody like that at the end of his career. Let's get to the draft and worry about that. But the last 2 years, it's kind of like, all right, let's see who's the list on the free agency. What guy do we need? What position we need? All right, we might get that guy. And it's legit. We actually might get some of these guys. Right. So, but I'm that's the difference between the old Bengal way and the new Bengal way. And the offensive line, I think they also got another diamond in the rough in Deonte Smith.
A lot of people really like him.
Yeah, I'm a Bearcat fan, so I watched him play, but I didn't know who he was. I didn't pay attention to him. I never heard of him. But the videos I've seen of him and when he was at the Senior Bowl, dude can move. He's got some pretty good feet. And he's got the length and he's got the height. He's already put some weight on. I mean, next year, him and the Dillinger, if we don't sign a Reef, could be fighting out for that tackle spot. And if Jackson Carman is a beast at guard, just leave him there. And I think this could be, and I've said this, and this is me and my orange sunglasses. We could have potential 5 starters eventually out of this draft, I think.
Yeah, they could. I think that you're going to have 2 guaranteed. I don't care how the lineups look today at the start of OTAs. Carmen's going to start at guard.
Oh, yeah.
Either Suofilo or Quentin Spain is gone before the regular season starts. I personally hope Quentin Spain stays. I'm a big Quentin Spain fan.
I like Spain. I like him a lot.
Especially now that Pac's got him his natural position at left guard.
And they won't put him at tackle.
Yeah, I think he played well at right guard last year, too.
I think he played well at everywhere they put him. I mean, not great, but well.
Once he settled in, he was a mid-season COVID quarantine protocol.
They signed him at the beginning of the week, and then he played that same week. So, I mean, and he played good, and they won that game, too, against Tennessee.
Yeah, so, I mean, that would be my preference, but I think you're going to get at least that. I think Osai is going to see the field very quickly. I think he could come into week one, the third pass rusher behind Hubbard and Hendrickson.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I like is I'm not – you're hard on Zach. I'm hard on Lou. I actually call Lou Armadillo.
I don't like Lou at all either.
I don't like his schemes. I mean, and I will gladly be wrong. I pray I'm wrong because I want the Bengals to win.
I want them to prove me wrong all the time.
Yeah, but this team – this is the most talented team I think that Zach and Lou have had in the 3 years they've been there, especially on the pass rush. I mean, he's got 5 guys, probably 4 guys at least. He can rotate in and out of the pass rush.
Yeah, and I'm a big pass rush rotation guy. I've been saying that for years. You got to have fresh legs and fresh bodies. You can't have Hendrickson and Hubbard going out there 80 snaps a game, or whatever the case is. Hopefully it's not that many. Hopefully the offense keeps them off the field a bit. And I hope Zach learns that it's okay to just turn around and hand the football off to Joe Mixon.
Yeah, that would be nice. Well, the thing is, hopefully
– $12 million a year, dude. He better kick.
Well, hopefully, with his offensive line, we'll actually be able to hand it off to him, and he'll be able to make his first cut versus a linebacker, beyond the line of scrimmage would be nice.
And he's a big Frank Pollock guy too. When he got brought back, they said that he was the offensive line coach and the running game coordinator. Yeah. And that was very exciting for Mixon. He had one of his better years back then too. So
I think he led the AFC in rushing that year.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jeff Anderson said here, Burrow said they got the right guys here and Pollock could be heard from the other side of the field. Trust him.
Good.
Pollock. Yeah.
I like Pollock. I think, and I like the fact that Zach finally admitted, okay, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Turner, his buddy, never had any business having that job.
Yeah.
And finally he was like, I messed up. Let's go get the guy that worked back. And everybody's like, well, look what happened to the Jets. I don't hold Gase years against anybody.
No.
Anybody. No,
not at all.
Quarterbacks, anybody. Yeah. Nobody.
Well, I'm also excited about the defensive line coach we got. He was the defensive line coach for Jacksonville when they were Saxonville.
Yeah.
So that I'm hoping he can help Lou scheme a little bit because we need to get pressure on the quarterback. And we got Hilton, who's a cornerback who can actually blitz. He's one of the best blitzing cornerbacks in football. We got him. We got all these guys that we signed and we drafted. And then we got Big Daddy Bayou and we got DJ Reader and Obinjobi and all these guys in the middle. They got the talent to have a top 15 defense, I think.
Yeah, that's all we need.
Yeah.
Realistically looking at growth from last year, that's what you got to do. You know, they talk about, you know, the coverage and, you know, the Cleveland game comes to mind where Darius Phillips got burnt by DPJ. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, that sucks. But if you can have that quarterback flustered and actually get to him, it's going to do a lot more. And Ogunjobi, you got to use him as a true three technique.
Yes.
That's where he thrives. When his problems – quote unquote started in Cleveland, that's when they try to take him off of that. So he needs to just be a true three technique, and he's inconsistent, but I watch a lot of Browns games because, like I said, my co-host is a Browns fan. We watch a lot of football together.
Right.
I have five TVs in my living room, so I'm watching all these games at once and all that.
I need to be invited up to your man cave then sometime.
Yeah, come on, dude. It's actually not even the man cave because the way my house is set up, it's my living room.
Oh,
I don't know how the woman I live with let me get away with that, but she is a saint, and I love her for that.
That's a good woman, right? I'm kicked down here I call it the ice cave. I'm down here in the basement, so. But that's okay. I like hanging out down here. But let's get into some of the stuff that you watched Joe, his press conference today. You watched Zach. You got any highlights that you liked that they said on there?
I honestly didn't catch Zach's. I stopped what I was doing to listen to Burrows. I can't lie. Yeah. Like I was,
right. I think everybody did.
I work from home, so I was working today, and I was like, yeah, that's just going to have to wait. but I like how he was, you know, not – showing that he was shocked that, you know, he was able to do what he did or that he's at where he's at, because I believe he just truly trusts his work. I think he believes in the process that he's doing. And, you know, he said that we've got the right guys here. Now, obviously he's not going to say that, like, oh, well, I think everything's okay.
Remember, we got garbage.
Tuafilo's a turd, you know, I think he's going to do that.
Right.
But he seems bought in and
he's bought into Zach too. You know, he backs Zach a lot.
Yeah, they love each other. Probably because Zach lets him throw the ball 50 times a game. He's like, hey, yeah, dude. but he has to show that because he's a different kind of guy, man. Like, even when Palmer was at the height of his game, like that 05 year, he blew his knee out against Pittsburgh. He was the best quarterback in the league.
Oh, yeah.
He was never the vocal or the like, I'm going to model what I do after him type of guy. And it seems like Burrow has that type of pull in the locker room to where – If he's got his nose to the grindstone and he's working his ass off, excuse me. If he's focused, if he's bought in, if he believes in Zach, if he believes in the organization, if he believes in everything that's going on, other guys in the locker room are going to gravitate to that. So it's absolutely important. So I just think that, and it goes back to the day that he got hurt. I mean, he blew his knee out. They said that he talked to his parents and he was like talking about what they did well in the first half against Washington.
Right.
And
you know, he's talking about his knee.
His tweet was like, can't get rid of me that easy. See you next year.
Yeah, so exactly. Like,
his intentions were known. I said that in an article that I published last week. His intentions were known hours after the knee was blown.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff's contagious, man. That's gonna trickle down to the rookies. That's gonna trickle down to maybe the guy that's been there for a couple years and doesn't like how things have gone. I think it can just fire the whole team up. So the highlight from that was just, he's just locked in. And I guess we shouldn't have expected anything different. But, I mean, that's a career-altering injury, man. It wasn't just the ACL. It wasn't just the MCL. It was the PCL. It was structural damage. It was all of this other stuff. So I'm like, I don't know how this guy's going to be. And we still don't know, because at the end of the day, when nobody's within 10 feet from you and you're taking your snap from your coach and you're throwing to a wide open Jamar Chase, that's all well and good. How's he going to take a hit?
Right.
I tend to believe that he probably wants his first hit. Right.
Oh, yeah. He wanted to get hit last year. Yeah, man, he wanted to get hit last year. Somewhere. He said, just let somebody
see where I got him.
Yeah. But, he got hit plenty of times after that.
You got to get that first one out of the way, I think, after this. Yeah. And, you know, and that first low hit. I remember Alex Smith coming back this year.
Yes.
And getting hit low. And I was like, even I was like, just because, like, it was so cool he's playing. Then he carried a guy on his back. So, I mean, it's just going to be a process. But for where we're at now, him throwing in like actual throwing drills, obviously slightly modified. Yeah. Day one of minicamp was it exceeded my expectations.
It's day one of minicamp, and Joe Burrow is on the field throwing a football.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody thought that would happen. I'm optimistic. I didn't think that was going to happen. So I mean, if that doesn't get you fired up to for the season, then I don't know what will. And the thing is, like you said, he had a comment. I'm trying to find it. I wrote it down here in his press conference, where he said that he needed to be on the field. You know, he needed to be there for his teammates. And him, like you said, him showing the work ethic and everything, that does trickle down to everybody else. So if he's in there grinding his ass off, then everybody else is going to be doing it. So that's the culture change that Zach has been trying to get. And that comes with the character of the guys that they've drafted, because last year's draft, damn near everybody they drafted was a team captain. So this could be, and this is also the first somewhat normal offseason that Zach Taylor has had, because he came in late his first year, and then last year was all COVID stuff. So now we're starting to get back to normal. So Zach was asked in his press conference, you know, what's the difference between, you know, 2019 and this year, because they're kind of similar offseason. He goes, it's night and day. He's all in, he's ready to go. He knows everybody's name, he knows what they're doing. They have a plan, that he has talent, you know. So everything's going in the right direction.
He's not worried about finding a house or where he's going to send his kids to school or any of the stuff that came with that.
Yeah. They don't have to wear wristbands to stay within 10 feet of each other and all that stuff now.
Unless Burrow's around.
Right, unless then back up.
I give him credit for the culture change. I really do. I'm still not a believer. And one of the bigger things is the one score games over the last couple of years.
They got to figure out the windows. Those are
some of those are luck.
There's got a ton of them.
You have bad luck, but with a record like that, eventually there's a call or two or a challenge or two or something that you could have done differently in that game that may have swayed it the other way.
Right.
That goes back to
Lou too. I mean, because I was bringing this up on Lou with the Colts game. We had a 21-point lead, and he played like prevent defense the rest of the time. It's like,
what are you doing? You from winning the game.
Yeah, exactly. That's all. I'm like, get some pressure, step up on some guys. I mean, Phillip Rivers had all day to throw the ball, and I don't know how many times I saw it. And I was yelling at the TV. I'm like, he's going to throw it over the middle, and whoop, there's a tight end right over the middle. Yep, there's a wide receiver wide open right over the middle. Yep, there's a running back wide open over the middle of the freaking field. I'm like, I don't know why
anybody plays prevent defense unless it's five minutes left in the game and you're up three scores. Joe Woods had that habit in Cleveland too. Like I've seen other guys do it. And then you got the polar opposite. You got like the Rob Ryans of the world. They're going to run like a zero blitz on the last second play when you're only up 2 points. And then, you know, they score. It's just things like that you have seen a lot of times where I think that Zach and Lou were in over their heads.
Right.
I think that you're going into year three now. You should have seen most of everything that you're going to come across in a regular season.
What else? I don't know what else there could be that they haven't seen. I mean,
there has to be a big leap this year. The schedule's tough, man. You got to start hot.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, I'll get to that, and you'll probably crack up laughing at my my prediction, but let me get up here. That I got us 11-6, which I know, that's a big pipe dream. But let's just get to the beginning of the season. I really do think there's a very good chance that the Bengals could be 4-0, at least 3-1 going into that Green Bay game. I mean, I think Minnesota is a winnable game. I think Chicago is a winnable game. The Squealers are awful. I got that as an L because it's in Pittsburgh. Jacksonville is a winnable game. So, I mean, if they get off to a 4-0, 3-1 start, that's going to help because the end of the season is a gauntlet. I mean, you got Chargers, Sucky Niners, Denver, Ratbirds, Chiefs, and then the Clowns. I mean, the end of it's a gauntlet. So that's why if they're going to have any shot of having a winning season, they got to get off to a good start.
Yeah, and I didn't do a schedule prediction this year. I usually do. I'm not doing a schedule prediction thing, but looking at it, I could see beating Minnesota. I could see beating Chicago. I'm never going to pick us to not beat Pittsburgh. I've said some pretty foul things about who I'd root for in this world other than Pittsburgh. Jacksonville, yeah, you know, Trevor's going to be a rookie.
Right.
We don't know what he's got. Green Bay with Rodgers, probably with you.
Yeah.
Green Bay with Jordan Love, I think we'd be in it.
Yeah, I think
Detroit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Detroit, very winnable. I really want to beat Lamar, man. He has
a number. I do too.
I hate it.
The thing is, that's what I'm hoping with the Browns and the Ravens, with having these guys that we got in the center now with Ogunjobi and DJ Reader and Tyler Shelvin. Hopefully, we can stop the run because that's how the Ratbirds and the Clowns beat us. It wasn't by throwing the ball; they ran it down our throat.
Yeah, and those guys can help you against a team like Cleveland because you know they're going to have a more traditional running style, but they have the best offensive line in the league graded last year for pass blocking and run blocking.
Right.
But you know they're more of a traditional where they're going to run between the tackles type team. The Ravens have this Lamar thing where you gotta have somebody to spy them. So these safeties that they're playing, you know, they got the Sean Williams role to fill this year. Mm-hmm. Now that Sean Williams is gone, that box safety that they're going to have to put a spy on Lamar.
Well, somebody was on my show saying they had Darius Phil the first game against the Ratbirds. Lamar, they kept him pretty much in check. It was the three-headed running back that got us. And then Darius Phillips, who is the one who's keeping Lamar in check. And that's how they handled him the first game. Second game, it didn't work out as good. But I mean, also, we were like really, really, really injured then, too. So, I mean, maybe they figured something out. Oh, yeah, look at how teams play the Ravens in the playoffs.
Yeah, you make them throw.
Yeah.
Make them throw.
That's the thing. Is if we can get the Browns to rely on Baker Mayfield to beat us, we can win. If we get
I saw Baker piece us up that second half of that game last year, though, man. He's done it, too.
Yeah, he's done it. But I would rather take a chance on him doing it than that running game they got.
Well, yeah. You want to make most teams throw just because there's a much better chance of a poor outcome for them. You know, you run the ball, right. They're either going to score, they're going to get tackled, maybe they fumble. You know, they drop back to throw, you might get a sack, you might get a strip sack, you might get a pick. You know, there's a lot more things that go into it. Unless it's Mahomes. I don't want Mahomes to throw any more than absolutely necessary.
Dude, he almost completed a touchdown in the Super Bowl when he was vertical. That was ridiculous. Yeah, I know.
I can't do it anymore, dude. So there's stuff like that. But at the end of the day, we're in the AFC North. We're going to have to run the football. People are getting on Twitter telling me that, like, running the football is outdated. I do not believe that.
No, look at the Browns and the Ratbirds. No, they run it all the time.
Obviously, you want to have the weapons to answer a team like Kansas City because that's the cream of the crop in the AFC. You want the weapons to answer that, but I still think the foundation of the team can be started on running the ball, setting up play action. I think Burrow would benefit so much from the actual threat of a running game leading into play action.
Well, that's another thing that they might, I'm hoping that Zach will do at the beginning of the year to kind of ease Burrow into it. You know, let's lean on Mixon a little bit. Let's establish the run and then hit him deep with Chase and Higgins and Boyd and all that. That's a good way, I think, to just get Burrow back into the saddle, get the rust off, get him going. And we got one of the best running backs in football. I mean, Joe Mixon, use him. You know,
he has to play like it, though. Like I said, with that $12 million price tag, he needs to catch the ball out of the backfield more, too.
Well, you know, I actually watched a video, a highlight video of Joe Burrow from last year, and I was surprised how many passes were in this highlight video, and they were to Joe Mixon. He didn't have a ton of them, but there were a lot of them in this video. I'm like, wow, Mixon actually really can catch the ball. So,
yeah, he definitely can. I think that people thought that was a Gio Bernard thing, but Mixon's more than capable.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, replacing Gio Bernard is going to be a little bit tougher this year. I'm a Michigan guy, so I hope Chris Evans is the one that does it. But that's going to lead to, I think, them having to lean on Mixon more so for that too. And, you know, to be a three down back and to get better at pass protection. I did see him decapitate Mike Hilton that one time on that Monday night game. That was good.
Oh, wait,
so hold. There's promise there.
I got something for you that, hey, where is it? I didn't see it. I chopped that. Oh, I didn't do it. One of my buddies chopped it up for me. And where is that at? I got that video. I know I got a video. Where is it? I can't find it. Let's keep talking. I'll find it here in a second.
that's fair enough. But so, I mean, there's that. So I think that we have all the tools there. It's going to come down to the line for me though. Like, you know, I think Riley Reiff is solid. I think he's a Band-Aid though.
Definitely a Band-Aid.
He's on the wrong side of 30. Yeah. You know, he's a 1-2 year Band-Aid at the most. So,
oh yeah.
That's 2 years. Gonna be the guy? Is Carmen going to be the guy? I don't know, but this season, you know, going into this year, if the line protects and the guys that are going to be projected to start on the line now gave up a grand total of 5 sacks last season.
Pretty good.
So, you know, that's solid. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So if they perform to that standard, there's no reason why we shouldn't take an enormous jump
right from
what we saw. And I'm not saying, you know, I've seen people that say, you know, we have a top 10 line right now on paper.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't agree with that. Yeah. Give me a top 15
right to
17 line. And I'll be happy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I kept telling everybody. I said, we don't need 5 Penei Sewells. You know, it'd be nice, yeah. But we just need 5 guys who can work together and play well together and just give Joe enough time. And then here I got the video. This is people who don't think Mixon can block. Check this out.
He rewound that like 10 times.
Yeah, he can block. so he lit. Mixon's let Hilton know about that or remember that block.
Yeah, they brought it up today.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Like, hey, remember that Monday Night Football game? Oh no, you don't, because I knocked your ass out. Sorry. Oh my goodness. I see you, Kevin. Lean on Mixon, healthy we got here. He said, not to bash Mixon, but he has not proven he can stay healthy.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is too, is hopefully, well, okay. I'll put you this way last year. And I feel the same way about this with same with Jonah Williams. If we're in a playoff push, they would have played, you know, I think the season went so bad. They just shut them down. So they didn't make whatever they hurt any worse or any of that stuff. That's so, true. I mean,
yeah,
that's where I'm kind of like, yeah, they were injured, but they would have came back if it weren't, you know, 4-12, you know, so.
Right.
But yeah, I agree.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I do agree. Mixon does have to prove he can stay healthy. And the thing is, I'm excited to see him run behind an actual freaking line. And this is going to be the best line he's had since he's been here.
Yeah, absolutely. And the guy that orchestrated the next best line and running game that we had is back. So hopefully that those two go hand in hand. But he does have to stay on the field. I mean, that's a very good point.
Well, that's the thing too, is he's going to be on the field for third down. So that's one, he's got to improve his pass blocking, but also I want to see him. Like I said, I'm more interested, although the pass blocking I'm interested in, but I want to see him catch. And you said this before on the show, getting passes out of the backfield. Cause he's got some very good hands. I think he's got underrated hands, to be honest. I think he's better at catching the football than people actually realize.
He definitely is, and he'll put a move on the first guy a lot of the time. I mean, you see him have flashes of Le'Veon Bell of old type ability out of the backfield.
Yeah,
that I think that they need to definitely try to find a way to utilize more. You know, whether that's even just the safety valve, where if everything is covered up, you know, he's in the flat and Burrow can dump it off to him, and he can shake and bake and make something happen.
Yeah.
But he's got to be on the field for it. You know, he's got to play.
Exactly. Titus wants to know if we heard anything about the offensive lineman from the Redskins coming here. That'll be Morgan Moses. Nope, I don't think they are going to sign him. Happening. Yeah, I honestly
think they should, but they won't.
I don't think it would hurt. But the thing is, Jake said this yesterday, that Riley Reiff has never actually played guard in the NFL.
Right.
So that's the one issue is like, okay, can he actually play guard? He's never done it. So if Morgan Moses is your tackle, you're kicking Reiff in the guard, is can he do it? But to be honest, I think the Bengals are honestly done getting starters. If they sign anybody, it's going to be for depth with them all four. I want depth on this offensive line because of the injuries. You know, I don't want us to have to rely on Michael Jordan. I don't want us to have to rely. I know we're going to have to probably rely on Billy Price, but I'd rather not. You know, maybe Hilton from Georgia will come out and maybe he'll beat Price out for the opening day starter. Who knows? But that's where I'm hoping they actually get more depth. Like they talk about Eason from I think he's from Minnesota. He's a center slash guard. I talked about him before the draft of possibly signing him, but I don't know. I don't know if they're going to. The thing is, the money they have right now is probably slotted for trying to get Jesse Bates and Hubbard signed, is my opinion. I think that's what they're trying to do. If they get those two signed, then they can figure out what they have left over to add onto the team.
Jesse Bates has to be priority number one. He's the best safety in the league. He's the best safety in the league. I don't want to hear anything about the Honey Badger. I don't want to hear Jamal Adams. I don't want Jesse Bates is the best safety in the league.
You tweeted
I will
that
die on that hill.
You tweeted that out the other day, didn't you?
I tweet that out like twice a day. I'm a Jesse Bates guy, man.
Chris says Jackson Carman is a beast in the run game. He looks like he looks to punish someone.
He does, and I've seen that. I think the Jackson Carman story is cool. He's from Fairfield. Mm-hmm. I actually there's a Pee Wee football league that I coach in here in the Dayton area called the Western Ohio Junior Football Conference, the WJFC. Jackson Carman actually used to play there for a team that we go up against a couple times a year in Meadowdale. So I think it's awesome to see a kid that goes from there to Fairfield to come play for his hometown team. That's great. And I've seen plenty of videos where, yeah, man, he's going to get down the field. He's going to get out in front of people and he's going to try to crush the guy that's trying to get the ball carrier. So there's a lot of good qualities there. I just wouldn't have been my pick, but once they get drafted and they put on stripes,
they're Bengals. So, dude, that's what they did. I'm with them. That's my team. So, all right, let's roll with it. Well, I think.
Yeah. It's all you can do.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just no fun to be miserable.
Right. You can sit there. Yeah. I've never understood that. Why? Like, oh, well, they should have done this. Like, I'm going to bitch about it all year. For what? It just makes
I just learned that like a month ago. So. I'm getting there, man.
Adam says, if anything, Moss can be kicked to guard. Reeve has doubled his production in recent years. I don't know if Moss has played guard. I mean, just because they play tackle doesn't mean they can play guard. I mean, Fred Johnson is a great example of that. So,
well, when you look at Reef kicking him into guard, that's typically a move. You usually see guys that are playing tackle start at guard early, what Carman's done, what Andrew Whitworth did.
Yep.
They go out to tackle, and then they'll go back into guard to try to extend their career a little bit.
Right.
Reef is, 32, I believe. Moses is a little bit younger, so I could see the idea of having Moses at tackle because he's going to give you more years there if you plan on keeping Reef around at guard. Right. But it's 6-1, half a dozen to the other. If neither one of them have played there, you're running a risk. I think Reef would do just fine at guard personally.
I'd be for them trying it and see what happens. But I mean, my gut tells me they're not going to. I think they are to the point with their offensive line where they were last year when we were all banging the drum saying Bobby Hart sucks, and they're like, no, he doesn't, he's great. I'm like, So I think
hey, Bobby that, Hart.
Go ahead.
Not to cut you off. I'm sorry. That was my thing. Every time we did our podcast on Locker Room Talk Uncut, or I've just tweeted out or put it on Facebook, I love to say fire Bobby Hart into the sun, or send Bobby Hart to Zimbabwe, or some random country. That was always my thing. It was like send Bobby Hart to Uzbekistan.
I don't understand. I don't understand why, because Bobby Hart was great. Just check this video out.
Even with his shoulders.
Like, hello, my name's Bobby. There's our quarterback right there. Would you please go sack him?
I did something like that in eighth grade football. We're watching film, and my coach was like, Garrison gave him the lookout block. I'm like, what? He's like, hey, turn his head and yelled, look out. Look out.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I guess that's probably
what Bobby did. Yeah. Look out, Joe, he's coming.
Bobby gave me the lookout block.
All right, it's about – oh, geez, it's 6:28, man. I don't think we should – roll on out of here. But dude, I appreciate you coming on. You should definitely do this again sometime. This was a lot of fun talking to you. I could sit here and talk to you for another hour, probably, about football.
Yeah, I could talk football all day, man. I'm trying to become like a Bengals Twitter personality, you know, trying to engage with people, have some fun with it. So it's been a fun ride. I appreciate you you having me on.
No problem. I don't know if I'm a Twitter personality yet. So somebody, I've gotten tagged a couple of different things with Captain Obvious and Sands and a couple other guys that I'm like, and Bangalorean. I'm like, wow, maybe I am getting into the Bengal Twitterverse, but we'll see. But
yeah, I got a follow from Goodberry. I was like, I'm doing something.
Oh, dude, I screwed up yesterday. I had Jake on from Locked On Bengals, and I did my little intro like I usually do, and I hit Joe Goodberry's one. I'm like, oh, crap. my bad, Jake. Sorry. So, anyway, tell everybody where they can find you and follow your articles at and everything.
Yeah, so Twitter at Drew_LRT. That's my Instagram name as well. Our podcast is kind of a general sports podcast. It's on Twitter at LRT Uncut, adults only, or you know, kids with cool parents. I don't know what you guys do. And then Last Word on NFL is where you'll find the articles and everything that I'm dropping that I'm kind of getting used to. You can tell me I suck. It's totally cool.
Oh, you totally suck. So,
yeah, that's all right, man. No big deal. I'll take constructive criticism. I want to get better.
There you go.
And then, yeah, so I'm on there talking my junk most days, all day. So anybody that wants to come in and debate or support me or anything like that, please do. But don't make fun of, like, my hair or anything, because this mullet didn't come overnight.
I like that. I like that.
I worked hard on that. So that's the only thing that's off limits for me.
I grew one about 2 years ago, and then it got really hot, and I said, screw it, cut it off. I'll probably never do it again.
Yeah, I cut the grass earlier. It was kind of tough.
Yeah. It's a bit hot here in Ohio. But, Drew, man, I appreciate it. We'll definitely do this again sometime. Maybe during Bengals season or right before the training camp or something, I'll hit you up, and we'll get you back on here.
For sure, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, brother. Take it easy. Hooday.
Hooday.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. That was cool to check out Drew. Go check him out. Like you said, Last Word in the NFL and at his Twitter handle. He's a good follow. He's trying to become more optimistic, so that's good. Maybe I'm rubbing off on people. Who knows? All right, let's get to the Facebook groups that let me live stream, and I appreciate every single one of you guys. As always, it is Hootay Nation, Cincinnati Reds, riding third, heading for home, Bearcat Country, the Ohio State Bucknuts, the Ice Bar. You can also follow me on all my social media platforms, all under Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and the handle at Twitter is Jeff A. Trenopol. That's Trenepohl. Or you just type in Sports Strawberry Ice, it'll pop up. I'm on Instagram, also on TikTok. You can follow me there. Like I said, Sports Strawberry Ice. The handle is Iceman90. I'll be pulling the sound off later on tonight and put it on the podcast so you guys can check it out if you don't have time to watch us for an hour ramble on. You can listen to us. I'm on BeanPod, Apple iTunes, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. YouTubers, like I said, we are at 1,119. That is awesome. And I said, we get to 10,000, which I know somebody here is like, wow, let's get the 5,000 first. Dude, I'm going for the moon. Let's go. If I'm going to buy a jersey and give it away, I want 10,000. I'll take 5,000 too. But let's tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell us Sports Strawberry Ice, and let's get this thing going. And just last but not least, don't forget about Bengal Gyms, Jungle to the Hall. It's very important. Bengals fans, go to this and support our Bengals, and we got to get our voices heard about getting our players into the Hall of Fame. It needs to happen. So hopefully Jeremy will be on the show tomorrow. We'll see what happens. And as Jeremy would end the show, ready? Everybody all together. Remember one thing. And one thing only, that is, you don't live in Cleveland, you live in Cincinnati, so act like it. Hootay! And that's your sports, baby. See ya!